An hor yevor for yevor quinsus po amen. Perhaps some of the most comforting words a person can ever hear are from his or her parents, saying, "I am here, it is okay, don't be afraid." We all long to hear these words when we are in trouble, or we are afraid, or we have worries in our hearts and in our minds. This is exactly what we hear in today's gospel reading with the disciples. Previous to today's gospel reading, earlier in the Gospel of John, Jesus feeds 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fish. He then, seeing that they want to crown him king, decides to escape, and he goes up a mountain to be secluded and pray. The disciples, probably knowing where they are going to be going with Jesus eventually, decide to go on ahead, and they cross the sea. And as they are crossing the sea, the winds increase and the waves intensify, and they become scared and afraid that their ship may sink. They then see Jesus walking on the water, and they are scared to see him walking on water, because who wouldn't be? But in the Gospel of Matthew, it goes on to say that Peter, seeing Christ and calling out to him, asks him if he also can walk on the water. And Jesus says, "Yes, you can." And Peter gets out of the boat and he begins to walk on the water. But once he sees the winds, or once he feels the wind and sees the waves and hears the thunder and the lightning crashing around him, and taking his eyes off of Christ, he begins to become afraid and he starts to sink into the sea. And he cries out for help, and Jesus comes, reaches out his hand, and grabs him. We can all relate to the disciples in today's gospel reading, and Peter especially, in our lives. Because when we are frightened, or we are in danger, and when we do not know what the future holds, we search for help and for comfort from someone or something. Today's gospel is not only a lesson in that Jesus saves his disciples and his faithful, but it is also a gospel reading which demonstrates to us Christ's authority over evil. Let us remember that throughout the Middle East, and especially in the ancient world, the sea is not seen as something that is good, but rather as chaos and as the home of evil and demons. Let us remember that it is through water that God destroyed humanity and creation in the story of Noah's Ark. In the Old Testament, it talks about Jonah and the whale. And the whale takes Jonah to the deepest abyss of the sea, down below, farthest away from where God exists. In the New Testament also, we see this. When a demonically possessed man comes running to Christ, asking to be saved, and when Christ casts the demons out, the demons beg Christ to send them into the swine over there. And Christ lets them go into the swine. And the swine, the gospel says, run off the cliff down into the sea. Almost as if the demons are returning back to the place from where they came. And then also in the New Testament, in the book of Revelation, with the new creation and the new world, it says that there is no more sea. The idea that there is no more evil. There is no more place where evil exists. Anyone who's been on a boat knows that when you look down into the sea, you see nothing. You don't know what's underneath. You only need to watch the movie Jaws once or twice to realize this. That the sea is a place of fear. Yet we also see how water is transformed from a tool of destruction into a tool of salvation through Christ's baptism. And we see this in the icons of the baptism. In the baptismal icon that we have, it never fails. Every baptism I do, when there's a little child with me there, they always ask me, what is that little man doing in the river with Jesus down at the bottom of the picture? And the reality is that that little man is actually Satan. It's a demon. The early church fathers and iconographers realized that they had to put Satan into the picture, into the icon of the baptism, to symbolize that God, Christ, is coming into Satan's home and throwing him out. He is coming in and he is blessing the waters, and he has authority and power to conquer evil, even in evil's own house. In today's world, we are surrounded by worries, fears, addictions, anxieties, and attacks from the evil which try to drown us constantly. Yet Jesus has his hand always extended to us so that we can be saved. There's a story of a little boy with his dad walking in the woods, and they approach to a bridge, an old rickety bridge made out of wood. And the little boy is scared to cross this bridge. So the father says, holding out his hand, he says, hold my hand. And the little boy says, no, you hold my hand. And the father says, well, what's the difference? And the little boy says, I might let go of your hand because I'm scared, but I know that you will never let go of my hand if you hold it. This is the relationship, dear faithful, that we have with God. He wants to hold our hand and he wants to guide us, but we have to put it out so he can grab it. And once he holds our hand, he will never let go. It may seem like we are alone in our boat, the church, in this storm of the world that's going on now. There's lots going on that we don't know what the future holds. But Christ sees our troubles from afar. Just as he was on the mountain and he saw the disciples in distress, he came down, he didn't swim to them, he didn't wait for them on the other side. He didn't even fly to them, but he walked on the water. He walked on the tool of destruction, which had now become the tool of salvation. He walked over evil, and he saved them. And with the troubles and the dangers that exist in this world, he sees them, and he is walking on them, and he will bring us to the harbor of peace, safety, and tranquility. So as we navigate through life, let us not forget two things. First, that Christ has authority over all the evil in this world, which causes us worry and fear, and that he not only has authority over them, but he will destroy them. And second, that his hand is extended to us. He is just waiting for us to reach out so he can grab it. And once he grabs our hand, he will never let go of us. And we are reminded of this truth by the prophet Isaiah when he writes, "For I, the Lord your God, hold your right hand. It is I who say to you, fear not, I will help you."